In San Francisco, I'm Molly Wood sitting in for Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday, March 31st. Thank you for joining us. We begin today, as we always do on Fridays, with the weekly wrap, our look at the big economic news of the week. Joining me for that discussion, two of my favorites, Catherine Rempel from The Washington Post and Neela Richardson, chief economist from Redfin. Hello, rappers.
Hi, hello. Molly.
All right. So just moments before we began this broadcast, the president signed two new executive orders dealing with international trade. Still a little bit less than a complete international trade overhaul. Catherine, you start. What do you make of this?
Yes, this is certainly far short of renegotiating NAFTA and many of the other big blockbuster promises that Trump made during the campaign. But that said, I think that's a good thing. Basically, from what we know about these executive orders so far, these are attempts to study the problem of why we have big trade deficits and why we might have some uncollected, anti-dumping duties, for example. And in fact, Wilbur Ross told reporters yesterday that, quote, we may conclude that no action needs to be taken, unquote. So this is basically an attempt to study the problem, and I am A-OK with leaving it at that.
Neela, same feeling. Trade abuses, certainly worth looking into.
You know, for a government that said that they were going to start, an administration that said that they were going to start running the government like a business, this is a very government way to start a problem, which is to commission a study. that's usually how it
fair,
goes. A study is
to
commissioned.
Be fair, it's also a very consultant way to start, which is not not foreign to the business environment.
is true. Yes, that's usually contracted out as well. So we're already seeing that the Trump operation, even in trade policy, is looking a bit standard. Not only are the policies starting to look standard, the actual approach is looking standard. I think these executive orders reflect that.
This week, Congress rolled back some privacy protections that would have kept consumers' web browsing history under their control. Neela, do you feel like this is the week that people suddenly realize that this information might be for sale?
I think it is. I mean, imagine that your browsing history can be given to the highest bidder in order to sell back to you goods and services. Or hopefully that's the least nefarious thing that will happen from people looking at your browsing history. And so, yeah, this is a very big issue on how should the internet be regulated? We have been operating under the assumption that privacy matters, at least to some degree, in terms of how people search and how people use. That assumption is now being softened quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, do you think, though, we've had Comcast and AT&T come out today reassuring consumers they have no plans to trample all over their customer data and sell it? Could privacy become a business differentiator?
Well, so long as these companies have monopolies in large parts of the country, then no, right? I mean, it's one thing to argue that, oh, this is no different from Google or Facebook or any of the many other companies that also find ways to monetize your behavior online, although not quite to the same degree we're talking about here. But at least, even if people make the choice to use those services, it is a choice. There are lots of consumers who only have the choice of one high-speed provider. So the idea that you could say, oh, okay, I don't want to go with that ISP because they don't protect my data, I'll go with their competitor, is just ludicrous. You know, many consumers just don't have that option.
And Molly, I think Catherine's hitting on a great point that this could just be the first step in eroding some consumer protections when it comes to internet usage. And that bears watching.
Catherine Rempel and Neela Richardson, thank you so much.
Thanks, Molly.